Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari.
Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Dandana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Dandana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya
Radha Madhava Janna Vallabha Giri Varadhari.
Gopi Janna
Vallabha Giri Varadhari.
Gopi Janna Vallabha
Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Dandana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Dandana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Dandana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Dandana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Dandana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Dandana.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And the verse is?
Dhruva was telling Yudhisthira that Krishna was the Sarit.
Sarit. Text number 21, chapter, canto 1, chapter 9, text number 21.
Sarvatmana samadrisho.
Sarvatmana samadrisho.
Sarvatmana samadrisho.
Sarvatmana samadrisho.
He. Advayasya,
advayasya
anahankrite,
anahankrite
hyadvayasya anahankrite
hyadvayasya anahankrite
hyadvayasya anahankrite
hyadvayasya anahankrite
tatkritam
tatkritam
mati vaishamyam.
Mati vaishamyam.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Niravadyasya na kuchit. Niravadyasya na kuchit.
Niravadyasya na kuchit.
Niravadyasya na kuchit.
Niravadyasya na kuchit.
Sarvatmana sama drisho.
Sarvatmana sama drisho.
Yadvayasyanahankrite.
Yadvayasyanahankrite.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Niravadhyasya na kuchit.
Niravadhyasya na kuchit.
Sarvatmana sama drisho.
Sarvatmana sama drisho.
Yadvayasyanahankrite.
Yadvayasyanahankrite.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Niravadhyasya na kuchit.
Niravadhyasya na kuchit.
Sarvatmana samadrisho.
Sarvatmana samadrisho.
Yadvayasyanahankrite.
Yadvayasyanahankrite.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Niravadhyasya na kuchit.
Niravadhyasya na kuchit.
Sarvatmana samadrisho.
Yadvayasyanahankrite.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Niravadhyasya na
kuchit.
Sarvatmana
samadrisho.
Yadvayasyanahankrite.
Tatkritam mati vaishamyam.
Niravadhyasya na
kvachit.
Sarvatmana samadrisho.
Advayasya anahankrite.
Of one who is present in everyone's heart.
Samadrisha.
Of one who is equally kind to one and all.
Never.
Kuchit. At any stage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, He is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and He is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever He does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. Purport. Because He is absolute, there's nothing different from Him. He is Kaivalya. There is nothing except Him. Everything and everyone is the manifestation of His energy, and thus He is present everywhere by His energy, being non-different from it. The sun is identified with every inch of the sun rays and every molecular particle of the rays. Similarly, the Lord is distributed by His different energies. He is Paramatma, or the Supersoul, present in everyone as the supreme guidance, and therefore He is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living beings. When He therefore exhibits Himself as chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in His exalted position. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates Him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Could somebody ask them to not talk or quietly? I read the last sentence again. When He therefore exhibits Himself as chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in His exalted position. He is the power of devotional service. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates Him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Since He has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because He is absolute spiritual identity, there is for Him no superior or inferior action. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, He has no false ego, And so he does not identify himself with anything different from him. The material conception of ego is equibalanced in him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of his pure devotee. It is the glory of the pure devotee that only he can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. We'll recite the Mangalacharna prayers, which you can find in your Songs of the Vaishnavacharya's white songbook. You can follow along. This book. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. And this is the great Srimad Bhagavatam, which is giving us the mellows of bhakti yoga. In other circles, when discussing the absolute, one might mistakenly think that the Supreme is Kaivalya and is absolute and non-differentiated, in the sense that he has no qualities, or is nirguna. However, the Srimad Bhagavatam, from beginning to the end, is full of descriptions of the saguna nature of the Lord, and that he's full of all qualities. And those are, of course, elaborated on by the great teachers of the Bhagavatam and those who follow in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we come ultimately to the understanding from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of the achinta bheda bhed tattva, or understanding how the Lord is simultaneously one and different, just as the sun is one entity, but he's expanded into billions, trillions, unlimited molecular particles, which are non-different from the sun, but at the same time differentiated. They have their own identity. So one of the great mysteries of bhakti, great wonderments, is that although the Lord... Can we turn this fan on? Yeah, it does. Yeah. Bravo. One of the great mysteries is, although the Lord is impartial, samaham sarva bhuteshu nami dvesho stina para, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm equal to everyone. I don't envy anyone. I don't get involved. The living entity reciprocates according to his own will. Ye yatam mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmana vartanta manushya parta sarvasha. It's up to us to use our own volition to surrender to the Lord according to our desire. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sambragamyo vayuradhapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yep praparasinya vichintya tatve govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. The Brahma Samhita, Brahma says that all kinds of living entities are chanting mantras, performing certain kinds of austerities, and they're attaining their results. Yanti deva vrta devan pitrin yanti patir vrta bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yajinopi mam. Krishna says if you worship the demigods, you'll go to the demigods. If you worship forefathers, you go to the forefathers. If you worship me, you will go to me. It's up to you. He's giving that choice, actually. And he's equal. Prahlad Maharaj says that the Lord is like a desire tree. Desire tree is there and will fulfill any of your desires. It's your foolishness if you go to a desire tree and you ask for the wrong thing. You go for the desire tree and you ask for some nuts and bolts or something insignificant when it can give you anything. So he said, Prahlad Maharaj says, the Lord is like a desire tree. He doesn't consider the lower or the higher. You go before him and according to the capacity, your capacity to desire, he will fulfill your desire. However, the Lord is partial, and this is an ornament. It's not a fault. That it's actually natural that when someone surrenders in a certain mood to the Lord, then the Lord becomes particularly indebted to that devotee. In fact, although he says, that according to your desire, according to your surrender, I reward you accordingly, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, he told his intimate servitors, the gopis, when they had surrendered everything, that although I have said this, I can't actually deliver on it. Because I have, you've surrendered to me in such a profound way that I don't have anything else to give except for myself. And so the Lord gives himself to his devotees who completely surrender to him because they don't want anything else. In the threshold of bhakti, we have Prahlad Maharaj, who was a pure devotee, child. And when Lord Nrsimhadev appeared and killed his father, Hiranyakashipu, he told Prahlad Maharaj, now take some benediction. And Prahlad Maharaj said, but my lord, I'm not a merchant. I wasn't performing devotional service to get something in return. I don't want anything. And the Lord asked him several times to accept some kind of benediction. But Prahlad Maharaj didn't want anything. He said, that's not my position. I'm simply your servitor. I'm only serving you. So for the devotees who have surrendered everything, the Lord, he actually gives himself. And this process is our line. This is in our line. Jnani prayasam udapastya namanta eva jivanti shan mukaritam bhavatiya bhartam stani stita shutigatam dhanavan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasi tais trilokyam. Lord Brahma gave this famous verse, and Lord Chaitanya approved of it heartily. And this verse says that one should not endeavor separately from surrendering to the Lord to understand him. In other words, we should give up the process of speculation and trying on our own, through our own mechanical powers, to understand Krishna. We should stay in whatever position we're in now, or if I could put it more strongly, whatever predicament we're in now, and hear about the Lord from pure devotees. This was the first suggestion from Ramananda Roy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted as being valid for advanced devotees, for moving ahead on the path of devotional service. Stani stita shudikatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasi trais trilokyam. And he said something profound also, did Lord Brahma, and that is that the Lord is ajita, but he becomes conquered. He becomes ajita. How? By the submissive surrender of pure devotees. When we surrender to the Lord and we decide to give up our own agenda and we decide that I'll simply hear from the pure devotees and I'll hear from the Shastra and I'll let that enter into my life and I'll act according to that. We give up. Then we enter into the flow of bhakti, actually. And the Lord takes over our life. He always wants to. He's always there ready. It's mentioned here that he's within our heart. However, no one's cooperating. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, na janam, na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. He's mentioning a stage at which we're beginning to throw aside all these personal considerations of what am I going to get out of this world. I want something for myself. Now, dhanam, wealth, that's a big thing. Everyone wants some wealth. Janam, everyone wants some followers. Sundariam, everyone's attracted to the opposite sex and dancing in such a way that, you know, like in a Bollywood movie. They'll become... It's the... It's the nature of this world. Everyone's dancing because they want to attract the opposite sex. Even in the bug life, in the bird life, the worm life. I heard some things the other day from our gardeners about the worm life. but it's going on everywhere. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam bhajagadisha kami. He said, I don't even want to become a kavi. I don't even want to, you know, become intelligent, because there's ways in which I can collect knowledge and then I'll become powerful. And the idea of collecting knowledge, collecting wealth, what is it? It's to become happy. It's to stop my suffering. If I have enough money, maybe I'll stop my suffering, right? If I become smart enough, that knowledge will allow me some relief from the material existence. I'll find some happiness. But the devotee realizes that there's no other way except surrender. You have to surrender. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, bhajagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahai tuki tvai. Once we realize this, by hearing from pure devotees that there's no other path except surrender, and it occurs to me that this is a good idea, this is advancement in devotional service. If it occurs to me in my mind that this is probably a good option, I may not be able to do it yet, to completely surrender. But if it occurs to me that this is a good idea, I should try for this, to actually surrender, to give up everything. Then we're on the path of advanced devotional service. Because the Lord knows what we're thinking, and He's waiting for that time when I decide that I'm going to surrender. That's one reason why one might maintain material desires. Because we know that if I do flash that card in my mind to the Lord, that I'm thinking about surrendering. If I even entertain the thought, you know, I'm thinking about maybe thinking about surrender. Somewhere deep inside, because the soul is actually very wise. He knows that the Lord will pick up on that and say, I've been waiting all this time. You want to you're thinking about it? I'll make some arrangement. Oh, no, not that fast. So we maintain it. Maintain the material desire like a little plant. You keep it in the back and put it in a little sunny place. Nobody else knows it's there, but it's in the back. And I take my little watering can and put it in the water, put the water on the plant, a little food, you know, on the side. I think nobody sees it, you know, and I keep all these little things hidden back there. And it's a burden. It's a great burden. But to realize that the Lord is Kaivalya, He's one with my desire. He knows who I am. He knows what I'm maintaining. And He knows when I want to surrender. This is why I call it sweet surrender. It's called sweet surrender because there's so long I've been holding on to these material desires and maintaining them. They're hard to maintain. As Rupa Goswami gives this famous verse, Kama adinam nakatina nakatita palina durnideshas. He says that he's asking this question, for how long have I been doing this? Because he's waking up. Spiritual life means we're waking up. It's like waking up from a dream. And he says, how long and how many ways have I been maintaining these material desires? And then he sees, through the light of devotional service, through the light of hearing, that they've done me no good. They've been bad masters. I've served them and they've given me nothing. You know, what if you're working for someone and you realize all of a sudden, I'm giving everything, they're giving me nothing. They're gradually cutting your pay. Could I have time off? No time off. Could I have vacation sometime this year? No vacation. Am I going to get my check? Maybe. Maybe not. Keep working. That's the material desires he's talking about. We maintain them, and lust, anger, desire, you know, running in this material world, trying to maintain something. And what do I get in return? Nothing. Nothing. And so he's saying, now my intelligence has awakened, and I realize that I do want something. The soul wants something. There's desire there. And what does he want? This is the greatest moment of happiness for the soul, is to realize I want something, and I know what it is, and I know it's the perfect thing. This is called Abhishta Doham, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought to give to everybody. And that is a realization that I want some personal service for the Lord. I don't want to serve the senses. I don't want anything else. I want some personal service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's a happiness in knowing that it's available. Because that's what the Bhagavatam's saying. That's what the Shastra's telling. That's what Krishna's telling us in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, I will give you my personal service. You just have to surrender. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Hum tam sarva papi bhyo mukshi shami masacha. Material world means I'm always worried about everything. And why am I worried? I'm worried because I'm maintaining my material desires. It's crazy. It's madness. Nunam pramata kudate vikarma. Lord Rishabhadev says this is a state of madness, that I'm maintaining material desires that are killing me, anartas that are strangling me, and I won't give them up. So Lord Krishna mercifully says, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja ahantong sarva papibo mukshesham masuchaha. Don't worry. If you surrender it to me, you'll be the richest person in the world. All your desires will be fulfilled, so much so that you'll be swimming in an ocean, be drowning in an ocean of happiness by surrendering unto me. This is the process of devotional service. Anandam buddhivardhanam. The more we surrender to the Lord and His agenda, the more we'll actually feel completely happy and fulfilled. And there is no artificial renunciation in that, because it means that we're so preoccupied by our experience of getting some service from the Lord that everything else becomes insignificant, because it is insignificant. So the Lord is the chariot driver. He is within our heart, and He's only waiting for us to recognize that, that He's there, and to turn our attention so that we can join with Him. And this idea of oneness with the Lord is also very pertinent to our mission here at ISV and for any Vaishnav following anywhere. And that is to understand how other living entities, and actually the whole creation, is actually connected to the Lord. There's no disconnection from the Lord and His creation. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanupashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatona vijugupsite yasmin sarvani bhutani atmai vadbhut vijanataha tatrako mahakashoka ekat vamanupashyataha. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? And one who always sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as His parts and parcels, also becomes a true knower of things. So everything is connected to Krishna, and especially His parts and parcels, which He describes in the Bhagavad Gita as apara. They're part of Him. They're very dear to Him, every living entity. Sa nitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. There is a tie of an eternal kinship with every soul. Therefore, our assembly of devotees, we should be especially vigilant to serve the bhaktas, because they are part and parcel of Krishna, and they're very dear to Krishna, having surrendered to Him. And this is very pleasing to the Lord, to serve the devotees. It's also very pleasing to the Lord, whose very purpose of creation is to rescue the living entities who have somehow or other fallen under the spell of illusion, to help Him in that mission. There are innumerable living entities in the material world who are under illusion. And to see them as actual extensions of the Lord, and to give them an opportunity, to give them some kindness. As I think it says in this verse, that being the absolute personality of God, He is present in everyone's heart, He is equally kind to everyone, and He is free from the false ego of differentiation. He's equally kind to everyone. And Krishna advises us in the Bhagavad Gita that somebody who's a devotee, who's working on his behalf, is a kind friend to all living entities. So this is a sign of advanced devotional service, to show mercy to other living entities and to extend ourselves in that way. So I was thinking, we have a Janmashtami celebration coming up in a couple of weekends. Of course, we're celebrating early because that's what we do here. We start our celebrations a few weeks early in the form of Sankirtan, so that we have something substantial to offer to the Lord, that we make some substantial sacrifice ourselves, then we will actually be able to appreciate the meaning of Janmashtami, or the appearance of the Lord, because we'll be feeling that ourselves. But when the Janmashtami day comes, as an example, we were writing a mission for our festival upcoming, which is in 2 Saturdays from now. And one of the things that we wrote was about how we should treat everyone who comes here as an extension of Madan Mohan, of Shishi Radha Madan Mohan. So, in other words, the environment, when people come into the environment here, they should feel that they're extremely welcome and that they're being served, just as we would serve the deity. In the lowest class of devotional service, the deity's in the temple, and then everyone else is disregarded. We don't care, because God is there and everyone else can go to hell. We don't care. But in advanced devotional service, we see that the living entities are actually very dear to the Lord. They're actually as parts and parcels. And that by taking care of them properly in devotional service, that the Lord will be pleased. And this is actually our mission, and Lord Chaitanya's mission. Jive doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. It's the essence of all religious principle, to show mercy to the other living entities. So when people come here, we should have an awareness that they are very special, and that we should take extra care for each person that they're taken care of in devotional service. We extend our friendship. We give something personal to them, personal contact, find out who they are, make friends. At other kinds of programs too. For instance, the other night we had the great drama, the Dharma, the drama over at the Hindu temple. It's a larger center. Those are opportunities for us, not just for entertainment, but also while we're there to look around and see who's there. See what other kinds of people who have come to see this drama and to extend ourselves. This is our mission. This will connect us to Krishna, actually, through his purpose. To see who else is there, we should take our own initiative to find out, you know, who's there, who we can connect with, how we can bring them closer, how we can make friends. It's easier to stay in our own comfort zone. But if we extend ourselves outwards and we find other people and see how we can bring them in to our family, into this mood, to also see, with the purpose that how we can give them some service in the Sankirtan movement. This is very powerful, to serve other living entities. It's different from what we were talking about in Bhagavad Gita the other class the other night, about manu seva is madhava seva. This is the bodily conception of life. Some of you were here for that class, and a question was raised by one of the students here about isn't it better if we just why chant Hare Krishna? Isn't that a waste of time? Wouldn't it be better to use that time when you're chanting to go out and feed people? And a good place to start with that is to ask someone who has that question, who are you? It's a good place to start to know who you are. Are you your body or are you the soul? Are you the Atma? If the answer is you're the body, then maybe it is better to go feed people. But if you're a soul, if actually you understand you're a soul, then there's a higher purpose in life. If the same person asking that question was to say, or let's say if I was posing this question more fairly, that better to go feed people than to chant Hare Krishna, to spend your time in that way. Someone might fairly ask me, would you say the same thing to a surgeon who's operating in the operating room? He's doing some operation, you say, well, why are you wasting your time? Why don't you go feed people instead of operating all the time? It's only because I don't understand the value of the operation. I think, what's the value? You're cutting him open and, you know, go feed people. So if I say that to someone else who's chanting Hare Krishna, it means I may not understand what's going on there. I don't see the subtlety, actually, the importance of chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Even surgeons.
Give him a microphone.
Even surgeons, by doing surgery, have been known to chant Hare Krishna. This was communicated by Pushta Krishna Prabhu, that he was operating on someone, and he came into a lot of difficulty, and he said, I turned to Krishna and said, help me here. Mm. So they have also been known to do that.
Chai. Probably lawyers too, right? Fair enough. And he's trying a case, and I said, why don't you just go feed people, you know? Or, you know, you might look at a high court judge and say, you're not doing anything. You're just sitting there all day. You know, why don't you go feed people? That's a more valuable thing. You just sit there all day and, you know, say a few words and shuffle some papers and hit your gavel. That's not very valuable. So to someone who doesn't understand the soul and has no, it is covered by, you know, the lower modes of nature and may think I'm my body, I might think, you know, what's the value of chanting Hare Krishna? So we're not talking about that, serving other living entities, but we're talking about serving with full knowledge, understanding that the soul is the most important aspect, and we need to take care of, and that in doing service, by giving knowledge, by extending a merciful hand, we're doing the best of service. Srinivas Prabhu. Microphone.
Oh yeah, I fully agree with you that food of soul is not food, but it is holy name, for example. But another point of view in this favor of feeding people is, if we don't feed people, there are other people with the opposing points of view who go and feed people and get them attracted to their viewpoints. And then we lose our space there.
Reputation.
For example, if let's say you have, let's say Hindu, Christians and Muslims, okay? And of course, so, it is well known in India, for example, that people from other groups, other religions, they go to villages and feed people and convert them very aggressively just by feeding people. So that also has to be countered.
We could then say maybe we could get in a race for building hospitals. And whoever builds the most hospitals will win. But better to go towards the root of the matter, which is pure devotional service, how to connect people to that, to actually their real interest. And in the process, whatever else we do, it becomes purposeful. If there's scope for that, for feeding people while we're doing that, then it becomes valid. Just like we don't perform austerities separate from devotional service. There's no scope for doing that. Everything we do is connected to devotional service, like performing fasting. Why do we fast? We fast on certain days like Ekadashi or Janmashtami, because it's connected to Krishna. So Krishna says, Yakaroshi adashnasi yajohasi dadasiya yatapasasi konteya tatkurushva manarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, do as a sacrifice for me. Do it in connection to me. Then it has real purpose. Ritirtam yat pratyeta. But you're talking about something slightly different. It's more of an idea for a preaching strategy, that if I make people like me enough, then I will be more successful in presenting Krishna consciousness, right? If I'm more appealing. But that's true to some degree. But on another side, as Prabhupada put it, when devotees pose that question to him, or that conundrum, they said, like, why don't we make people like us first, and then we'll present Krishna consciousness after they like us, that kind of idea. And Prabhupada said, well, then we get in the business of pleasing the public. Exactly. That becomes our main focus. And then he said, if the public says that you should dance naked in the street, then we'll have to do that. Whatever they say, we'll have to do, because that becomes our mission, to please them first. So it's not that we can't be pleasing to people in the process of presenting devotional service. In fact, devotees of the Lord who are pure devotees are noted for that, for being revered and appreciated by people of all classes, as the Goswamis, dhira chana priyakaro. They were adored by the gentle and by the ruffians, by everybody, because of their stature in devotional service. So devotees of the Lord who are non-envious and who are doing good for others by preaching and in other ways become noted as benefactors. Last night, just before we started the Harinam Sankirtan, there was a group of musicians sitting on one of the planter boxes by the trees, and we just started. A couple of mantras came out, and one of them came over. He was a blues musician. He gave me his card. It was something like barbecue blues something. I forget what his exact title was. Who was there? Who heard this? Because he came over and he said that a couple of weeks ago, last month, he said he came out here. He was congratulating us for starting the chanting again, and he said that last month he was there. And he had bought a book from somebody. And then he saw Neelam was there. And he said, oh, I bought it from her. And he said, you changed my life. My life has changed now. And he said, you go on doing this chanting. He goes, you be the man. And he was so excited. His life was changed. He had received transcendental knowledge and the chanting. Of course, if we had fed him at that time, you know, without the chanting, he might be a friend, but he's already a friend. I mean, once somebody connects with Krishna consciousness and they say, my life has changed, they automatically become a friend. So, as we're preaching, we think of ways in which to give benediction, to give special mercy to people. And we're not we're not so expert that we can feed the whole world. There are other organizations that do that. We are not also expert at building hospitals, although, you know, in the course of taking care of devotees and things like that, others have built hospitals and such. But it's not our main focus. Our main focus is how to give knowledge, how to give special mercy. Yes.
I think it's important, in answer to that question about, it's important to recognize that what we're doing is we're not trying to convert people from one external designation to another external designation. Christianity may have been very successful in, you know, the Catholic Church, for example, may have been very successful in converting people into Catholics, but we're not interested in making people followers of ISKCON or Vaishnavism specifically, but lovers of God, which is different from an external designation. So by some trick of feeding people, you'll see that you want to convert people into, you know, externally changing their designation, but that really doesn't have to do with what we're trying to do, which is awaken the love of God in the soul. So I think that's an important distinction.
Although all your ideas are always extraordinary and very welcome, because I know your heart is behind it. And many of them are, I'm sure that we're already using because of your suggestions, and we'll continue to use, so don't think that we're saying anything like that. So just as a brief summary, the points that I was making, one is that surrender is sweet, and that is the essence of spiritual life, that we should surrender to Krishna, and he will protect us. And everything is in that surrender. And the other point is that we should become dedicated to this mission, as it is stated, of giving mercy to other living entities. And the more that we do that amongst ourselves and those who come into our environment, and at every other opportunity, even today, we're all going out with this mood of pleasing Lord Chaitanya. And thinking about it more, we're not doing it for some kind of, to rack up some kind of score so we can feel pleased with ourselves. But we're doing it really out of a sense of mission, following the acharyas who have asked us to do this and knowing that this is the correct thing to do. And out of a real sense, the devotees here are getting their own taste and feeling that when they meet people and they give them Krishna consciousness, their lives are changed. So we should concentrate on this mission as much as possible, and our lives will become successful. This is Sankirtan. It's the glorification of the Lord in all times and all places and all circumstances, seeing everyone has his extensions. And that means being kind friend to all living entities, and especially by distributing the holy name of the Lord. We have these books that have been given to us, divinely bestowed, and we can bring attention to them that these are special. The Bhagavad Gita is special in the world. The Srimad Bhagavatam is unequaled in creation. And whoever just bought a Sri Shapanishad, that book is also extremely potent. So we should think about these books. We should read these books. We should enter into them. It's our legacy. It's what's been passed down to us. And we should distribute them as profusely as possible, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future, how they'll be available. Just over the summer, we had 3 months and we didn't have Bhagavad Gita. I mean, we take it for granted. The BBT will print books, we'll order them, Raksha will get on the phone and get them up here. It's not so easy. He does so much service, you don't realize how much he does behind the scenes. Raksha Prabhu and his family ordering books. They have to wait at home for every shipment. You know how many shipments come to their house every month? Well, when it gets busy, more than the BBT wants to ship to us, apparently, because we're ordering so many books. They're getting irritated that we order so many that are coming in. And you know, they have to wait for the truck to come in. They have to load it in their house and negotiate prices. All these kinds of things are going on. So these books we should not take for granted. Every single book is a lifeline. Anyone who reads them their life will become changed. So while we're thinking in terms of, you know, this weekend we'll distribute 2,000 books, next weekend 2,000 books, every book is magical. Every interaction is very, very special. And it goes along with this idea, we're working for the Lord's purpose to give the living entities an opportunity to come back to Krishna. So we should surrender, and we should do this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, and all our desires will be fulfilled by that. There will be nothing lacking. We'll be swimming in an ocean of Ananda. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Om Tat Sat.